Back in September 6th of 1620, there was a vessel that left Plymouth, England. And you all know the history of it, that vessel called the Mayflower. They headed out. They had a 66-day journey. They had 102 passengers plus the crew. And over the course of the trip, those 66 days, there was disease that claimed two lives. The ship was supposed to head towards Jamestown and went off course in the midst of all that was occurring with the winter and all, and it ended up landing in what would be today Massachusetts, that area known as Plymouth. And those days were hard for those men, women, and children. You think about it, and they were under such severe persecution, and they just wanted to leave and to go to the new world, to go and to establish a Christian community where they would be safe from the persecution. They got there and remained on board because the weather was so severe outside, and there was just an outbreak of further disease that took place. Scurvy, pneumonia, tuberculosis. By the time that they got off that ship, there was only 53 people left. You think about it, you think of all being on that boat. You're with your brothers and sisters in Christ. You love these people. You've decided to travel to the new world together, and so there you are. There's 102 of you, and you're going. And you have weeping after weeping after weeping of having lost a family member or two or a friend. And you get to a place of just almost half of us are gone. We've buried or have done a Christian funeral service for over half of the people who were there on that boat, or almost half the people. And so you think about it and you think, it was a tough time. We're told that those pilgrims celebrated Thanksgiving because they wanted to celebrate, quote, the goodness of God. The goodness of God. They had lost almost half their people, and they're there, and they are just saying, we want to celebrate the goodness of God. William Bradford, Governor William Bradford, said that they fell upon their knees and blessed the God of heaven who had brought them over this vast and ferocious ocean. They fell upon their knees, these Christians, they fell upon their knees and they blessed the God of heaven who had brought them over. Just fell upon their knees and gave thanks. And there's been many people since that have given thanks. President George Washington in 1789 declared Thanksgiving a national day. The first national day of Thanksgiving was declared by him. And he asked Americans to, quote, unite in most humbly offering our prayer and supplication to the great Lord and ruler of the nations. Let's just unite in most humbling humbly offering our prayer and supplication to the great Lord and ruler of the nations. President Franklin Roosevelt called the nation to thankfulness in the middle of World War II. He said, quote, "The Almighty God has blessed our nation in many ways. He's given our people stout hearts and strong arms with which to strike mighty blows for freedom and truth. So we pray to him now for a vision to see our way clearly, to see the way that leads to better life for ourselves and for our fellow men, to the achievement of his will to peace on earth." And so we are here again, nearly 400 years since that first Thanksgiving, and taking time once again to give thanks. Those first pilgrims fell on their knees and they blessed God. Our text for this morning is Luke chapter 17, beginning in verse 11. "Now it happened, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And then, as Jesus entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers, who stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.' So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go, show yourselves to the priest.' And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, 'Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner?' And Jesus said to him, 'Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well.'" What an amazing account. You picture these 10 men. At some point in their life, whether it was childhood or in their teenage years or as adults, at some point, They found themselves looking at their skin saying, "Why is this happening to me? Why is my skin getting scaly? What is this on my arm? Well, what is this on my leg?" And being at a place of just horror, thinking, "I hope this isn't leprosy. I hope it's just some kind of just irritation and it's going to go away." And then days go by, weeks go by, it's getting worse and worse, to where now there's parts of their hair that have lost all of the pigment. There's parts of their skin that have lost all pigment. It just turns white. They have their face starting to get these nodules and a thickening of the skin that makes them look like they have a lion-like face. And it starts happening to them. And then from there they start getting nerve damage and infection, and they start losing fingers or toes or maybe their nose or their ears or their eyes start to droop down and where their eyes are affected terribly. They have raw flesh and oozing sores on their body. And by this time they've already been forced to leave their family, their friends, everybody. They're gone. Their family has moved them to a leper colony. And they're just with the lepers. And yet you have to think about these men, and they're looking and they're just saying, I miss mom, I miss dad, I miss my siblings, I miss my friends. I don't get to see them anymore. I can't be in their home. I miss my wife. I miss my kids. I can't be around anybody anymore. Everywhere I walk, I have to yell out, leper. We're told that from one rabbi that was writing at that time that he would not eat an egg if it was purchased off of a street in which a leper had walked down. We're told by another rabbi that he would throw stones at the lepers to keep them away. If a leper came by yelling leper, he would throw rocks. This is a rabbi, this is the religious leader saying, I would throw rocks at them to keep them away from me. And you think of these men and you think of what is taking place in their heart and all that they miss and what it's like to not be allowed to go and worship. What it's like to not be allowed into the temple. What it's like to be ostracized from all of society. And I'm sure they looked upon other lepers and they just thought, what have they done to make it so that they have leprosy like that? And now they're one of them. And so in their minds, they're thinking, what have I done? What sin was it that put me over the threshold to where now I have leprosy? Why has this happened? Without a doubt, all of these thoughts went through the minds of these men. And they had to have heard of Christ just as the entire region had. Heard of him reaching out and touching a leper. He touched the leper saying, I'm willing, be cleansed. Or making blind people able to see. Making lame people able to walk. If you had an ailment and you lived at this time, if you had leprosy and lived at this time, you would just think, is this true? Everybody's talking about it. Is it true? And so they come together. There's 10 of them. They hear that Christ is near. And so they met him there in the village and they stood afar off. They stood plenty of distance away, as was what was required of them in society. Here they are standing far away. And one of them maybe yelled, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Another one yells, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Together, they're calling out to him, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And it's a prayer that's going forward. God, just have mercy on us. Heal us as you did all of the other people. Just have mercy on us. And Jesus looks at them, says he saw them, and he said to them, go show yourselves to the priest. Looks at these 10 men. Just go show yourselves to the priest. Go walk. Take that trip. Go down there and show yourself to the priest. Just go. And they're looking at each other and they're still covered with leprosy. Their faces are still deformed. Their fingers are still gone. Their toes are still gone. In my time in Sudan, I saw a whole group of people that were part of a leper colony. And I don't think any of them had fingers or toes. Most of them, their noses were open or they had little stubs for ears. The infection had caused just incredible problems for them. They would walk, but it was their feet just looked like this, just walking like little stumps, just walking. And so when I read this, I picture them. And I pictured them just kind of just walking. They hear this. They're looking at each other. He said to go show ourselves to the priest. And so they just start walking together. And it tells us that as they went, they were cleansed. As they went, as they're walking, they're walking, they're talking, we're going to show ourselves to the priest. I wonder what they're going to say. And all of a sudden, one of them looks and says, "My hand's back." One of them looks and says, "My toes are back." They look at their arms and the wounds are gone. The oozing sores are gone. They're looking at each other's faces and saying, "It's gone. Your lion-like face, it's gone. All of those nodules, they're all gone." So you see, when Christ healed, he always healed perfectly. Always. And so you look at this and you can just picture these guys walking and they're walking and they're looking at each other and I'd love to see how their response was. Just the joy that just surfaced from them, where there must have been just incredible laughter and smiles and tears and joy just coming out of them with everything that was inside them. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he returned. Now the rest of these guys are saying, "He told us to go show ourselves to the priest. We're gone." It was a series of several days of showing yourselves to the priest and all that took place, to where they would be told that they had been cleansed. And so these guys are saying, we're going. We're going to go. We're going to show ourselves to the priest. And he's going to tell us that we're cleansed. And we'll be able to return to our families. We're going. But one of them, he was a Samaritan. He wasn't a Jew. He hadn't grown up with all of the teachings and learning of the God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and all that God had done. I'm sure he knew some, but not like these nine. See, these guys never would have been friends if it wasn't that they all had leprosy. They never would have been friends. A Jew never would have been a friend with a Samaritan. But because of their leprosy, they're together. But the Samaritan stops. And instead of going to show himself to the priest, he stops and he just thinks, "I can't go on. I can't. My entire life has changed. Everything is different for me. I have to go back and say thank you. I have to go back and give thanks." And there may have been discussion as far as, "No, we're not going back. We're going to the priest. We want to get back to our families. We want to be able to go show them that we're made whole again. We're not going back." And in this man's heart, it may have been something like, "How could you not go back? That guy just, Jesus, who has healed all of these people, he told us to go show ourselves to the priest, and we have been made whole. As we're walking, he has made us whole. How can you not go back?" And they may have looked at him and just thought, "Fanatic. A fanatic. You know, we're going to the priest." But this guy goes back. And it tells us, he returned and with a loud voice, he glorified God. With a loud voice, he's just praising God. Thank you. Thank you. And he falls down on his face at Jesus' feet. He just falls down. And he's there before Jesus. He falls at his feet, giving Christ thanks for what he had done. Giving him thanks. I look at this, and it's just the sweetest worship. Leprosy is something that is so much like sin. Sin attacks us. Sin makes us just numb to the junk of the world, and we get hurt so badly by sin. You look at it and fingers gone, toes gone, skin that has become thick and callous and nodules all over, just deformity in the face, oozing sores, and you look and you think, it's so much like sin. Sin just, it's horrific. And you think of what Christ has done for us. Being cleansed from leprosy to being made whole. The ugliness of the leprosy to being made whole and able to walk and having your fingers and your toes and your face back to normal. Your skin back to normal. It's nothing in comparison to what God has done for the redeemed. If we were able to see the ugliness of our sin, if we were able to see our sin the way that God sees our sin, it would be the most disturbing sight imaginable to us. The grossness of it, how habitual it is, the hardness of our hearts, the thickening of the skin to where it's just, nobody's perfect. God says that the inclination of the heart was only evil continually. The righteousness, it's like filthy rags in my sight. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none who does good. They're like a whitewashed sepulcher. They're white on the outside, but inside it's full of dead men's bones. It's heart is desperately wicked. And we like to look at ourselves as, I'm not that bad. I mean, there's really bad people out there, but I'm not that bad. And God would say contrary. I think it's so important that we talk about sin and we talk about how God views sin, because it makes this story of the leper it makes us praise him for his grace. Praise him for his grace. I think of this man and his sin and him falling down on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. I think of Luke 18 where it talks about this tax collector and he's standing afar off. He wouldn't so much as raise his eyes towards heaven, but he beat his chest saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I'm a sinner. Just be merciful to me, a sinner. Or that woman in the city who was a sinner in Luke 7. She knew that Jesus was at the Pharisee's house, and she brought an alabaster flask of this fragrant oil. And she goes to Jesus and stood at his feet behind him, and she just wept, and she wept, and she wept, and she began to kiss his feet, washing his feet and wiping his feet with her hair and kissing his feet and anointing them with the oil. Everybody's looking like, how do you let her do this? Jesus says, therefore I say to you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loves little. And then he said to her, your sins are forgiven. And those who sat at the table with him began to say to themselves, who is this who even forgives sins? And then he said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. So similar to what he said to this leper that returned. Your faith has saved you. Go in peace. He said to the leper, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. A humble coming before God and weeping. I think of the heart of somebody who realizes that they have been cleansed and what that ought to do to us. Spurgeon talked about a woman in whom he was sharing the gospel to, and she's hearing the gospel, and she says, oh, Mr. Spurgeon, if Christ saves me, he'll never hear the end of it. If he saves me, he'll never hear the end of it. And isn't that true? We will give him thanks now and forevermore. He'll never hear the end of it for us, will he? This man, he didn't try to be dignified at all, did he? There's a loud voice in which he glorifies God. It's not a, hey, I just want to come back and say thanks. It wasn't a, like to come back, thank you for taking away my leprosy, thank you for making me whole. In Jesus' name, amen. This guy, with a loud voice, he just starts shouting out and giving thanks and glorifying God. He is amazed at what has taken place with him. He's not at a place of, I shake your hand. Just say thanks. Things are much different for me, and I just want to come back and give you a thanks. And he falls at Jesus' feet and just starts praising him. There's nothing dignified about it. He just loves him. Everything's been changed for him. He just loves him. And he doesn't even get at this point that his sins are about to be removed completely. Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. Your faith has made you well. This man had genuine faith. Spurgeon also said, in true thankfulness, there's humility. Talking about this passage, he said, this man fell down at Jesus' feet. He did not feel perfectly in his place until he was lying there, saying, I'm nobody, Lord. He seemed to say, that's what he seemed to say, and therefore he fell on his face, and it says, but the place for his prostration was at his feet. I would rather be nobody at Christ's feet than everybody anywhere else. There's no place so honorable as down at the feet of Jesus. Ought to lie there always and just love him wholly. To let self die out. Oh, to have Christ standing over you as the one figure overshadowing your life henceforth and forever. True thankfulness lies low before the Lord. So this man fell. He fell down at Jesus' feet. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have been cleansed of all of your sin. Every time you lied, every time you had an impure thought, every time you coveted, every time you failed to love your neighbor as yourself, every time you were angry with sin, every adulterous thought, every lustful thought, every time you stole something or thought about it, every murderous thought or murderous action, everything that you could possibly imagine as far as the sin of this world and the sin that's in your own heart, whatever it is that comes to your mind as far as like, I would hate for anybody here to know that I did this. Gone. Hurled into the depths of the sea. And he remembers it no more. It's gone. When Christ forgives you, he doesn't keep bringing it back up again. Like, look what you did. Look what you did. He doesn't hold anything against you. He says it's gone. You're as white as snow. You're clothed with robes of righteousness. You have a righteousness that's not your own. It's the righteousness of Christ. If the sin that's in your mind is something that is so horrific that you think, I don't know that he could forgive me of this, picture Christ upon the cross and him hanging there upon the cross. Son of God, there hanging on the cross with the crown of thorns on his head. And then think, what you did was good, but it wasn't good enough for what I did. The blasphemous thought. What he did is sufficient to forgive all sins. All of them. And so, my exhortation to you this morning and to myself is, where do we fit in into this? Are we the leper that comes back, cleansed with a loud voice, glorifying God and praising him and falling at the feet of Jesus, giving thanks? Or are we the nine? Jesus says, were there not 10 that were cleansed? I saw you guys. You were all praying. You were all saying, Master, have mercy on us. I heard 10 of you praying. Where are the 9? Where's the 9? I think it's so easy for us to say, nah, I'm the one. And yet those guys maybe walked on their way to the priest saying, he knows we're thankful. They maybe walked on thinking, that guy's radical. He's like racing back there, yelling, shouting out with a loud voice. He looks nuts. He's not dignified at all. He fell down at his feet. We're walking. We're going to go do our religious duty. We're going to go show ourselves to the priest. We'll do our religious thing. We're going to go show ourselves to the priest. My encouragement to each one of us is, don't be dignified in how you give thanks. Don't be in a place where you're a part of the nine that forget. That look upon your life and say, okay, I'm thankful for a lot of stuff, but you know what? This has been brutal. Gone through some hard stuff. And I wish this was different, but I am thankful for these things over here. And just a hardened, dignified manner. Jesus says, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? He didn't even know. He didn't even know the history of it all. The foreigner, and he's the only one that came back to give glory to God. The only one that came back to give glory to God. This foreigner. I want to be amongst him. I pray that us as a church, it wouldn't be, where are the nine? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. I pray that we would be a church that together see the weight of our sin and what it is that God has done in removing our sin. Looking at the blessings that he has given us in our lives with the church family, with our families, the food that he provides for us on our tables, the things that most people in this world would do anything to have. And we just have so much. And that we would be those that are constantly going back and giving thanks. Not in a dignified manner, but literally with our hearts before God, face down with Christ, just saying, I just want to be where he's at, and I want to give him thanks with everything that's inside me in a way in which it's my whole heart going out to him because he has saved a wretch like me. He saved me. He saved me. If people knew what I had done, oh, I'd be so ashamed. But he has saved me. He's washed me. He's made me clean. I get to spend eternity with him. I'm not just made whole as far as my hands and my feet, but I've been made a new creation in him, and I'm a new man. I'm different. And just looking at it where it's just, I'm going to come back and I'm going to give thanks. And it's going to be regular thanks. 1 Thessalonians 5:16, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks. It's not just in the good stuff that we look and say, that's a blessing, that's a blessing, that's a blessing. But looking at our lives and saying, this was brutal. This was more than I ever wanted to ever deal with. And yet, thank you, God, you're my God. You don't leave me, you don't forsake me. You hold me in the midst of trials and tribulations. You are so good to me, and I thank you. Praise you. The psalmist says in Psalm 119, verse 62, at midnight I'll rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. At midnight, I'm just going to stand up. I'm going to give thanks to you. There was the Levitical priesthood, and they were in the morning and in the evening, they were to come before him and to give thanks. Commanded by God, give thanks. Regularly give thanks. We stand on the other side of the Levitical priesthood and we look and there's a priesthood of all believers and we see the Messiah and we see our sins removed and it shouldn't be where it's like, okay, I got to give thanks. Thanksgiving, what am I thankful for? But where we are the ones that come back glorifying God, worshiping him, falling at the feet of Christ and giving thanks daily. Daily. You read Psalms like Psalm 100, where it says, a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all the lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, and it is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Just a psalm of thanksgiving. Enter in to his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise, and be thankful to him and bless his name. Give thanks. Whereas for the unbeliever, Romans 1:21, it says, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful. They weren't thankful. 2 Timothy 3 says in verse 1, but know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful. They'll be unthankful. May we not be the nine. It doesn't have to be where it's 1 out of 10 of us comes back and gives thanks. As God's people, it could be all of us. We're all that leper that comes back and just falls at his feet and just gives him thanks. And it's from our hearts, and it's passionate, and it's real, and it's not trying to be sophisticated about it. It's just a thankful heart of a wretch that's been saved. You and I will thank him for all eternity. Think of in Revelation where it says that there's these First chapter 4, there's these living creatures and they give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever. It tells us that these 24 elders, they fall down before him who sits on the throne and they worship him who lives forever and ever. They cast their crowns before his throne saying, you're worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you create all things and by your will they exist and were created. They just fall down and they take their crowns, they throw them to him. Not trying to be dignified. They're so thankful. Or we read in Revelation 7 that there's these angels that stood around the throne of the elders and the four living creatures. And they fell on their faces before the throne and they worshiped God saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving, honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever, amen. Just fall down. Revelation 11:16, and 24 elders who sat before God on their thrones fell on their faces and they worshiped God saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, the one who is and the one who was and who is to come, because you've taken your great power and you've reigned. Every one of us, I assure you, every one of us, when we are able to see clearly what it is that he has done for us, we will fall down and we will give thanks just like the leper. Let's do it now. We have enough to see to know what he has saved us from and what he has saved us towards. Let's be the most thankful people. Ask yourself, am I one of the nine? And then stop going in your religiosity towards what you're going to do and going to church and doing these things and doing your devotions and reading your Bible and praying and doing all of the things and turn around and go back and praise him and just praise him. And then go back and do all those things, but with a heart that is loud and praising him. Think of the impact we will have on this community if we are a thankful people who are loud and go back and praise him and tell everybody what it is that he has done. Do you think that there was people that sat there glorifying God saying, he just told those guys to go back to the priest, to go to the priest and to show themselves, this guy, he's whole. We know that guy. He's whole. He's a Samaritan. He's whole. He's been changed. Do you think God was glorified by it? Absolutely. How would it be if we as a church were all in a place of just thankfulness and just looking and saying, not only am I going to give thanks, but I'm going to worship him in the way that I live, in the way that I serve the body, in every part of my life. I'm not my own. I was bought with a price. He, all that I am is his. And with a loud voice, I will praise him. Fight hard to not be dignified in the way that you worship, in the way that you give thanks. Just make it, may we make it, by God's grace, passionate as a result of what he has accomplished for us. Amen? Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we give you thanks this morning. We're so thankful. You've taken away our sins, the sum of them all. Every one of them, hurled them into the depths of the sea. You remember them no more. You bless us in this present life. You bless us with friends and with family, with a church, a place to worship. You bless us by calling us to be lights in this world and to go forth and to preach the gospel and to make disciples. We're thankful. That leper just, he began to shout and to praise you and to glorify you and to give you glory and honor for what you had done in his life. And I pray that that would mark us at Reverence Bible Church. Make us a thankful people. Help us to see our sin and have it cause our hearts to ignite in praise towards you. May this be the most wonderful Thanksgiving week ever as we come daily to your feet. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.